2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
This is a pre-recorded program presented by KSL News Radio and Intermountain Healthcare.
Healthy Mind Matters, brought to you by Intermountain Healthcare. We discuss the important community issues of stronger mental health, emotional wellness, and the growing problem of addiction. Here's our host, Maria Chaleos, on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Thank you for joining us for Healthy Mind Matters. Today we are talking about an initiative at Primary Children's Hospital aimed at enhancing mental and behavioral health services for children and teenagers in crisis. With me, Katie Welke, who's the CEO of Primary Children's Hospital and Vice President of Intermountain Children's Health, and Julie and Greg Cook. They're the parents of five children, and Greg is the founding executive doTERRA Essential Oils Company and a member of Primary Children's Hospital's Governing Board. Let's talk about, Katie, for a moment, telehealth and how you hope to expand your telehealth services for those people who really are who need it.
So as we were talking about earlier, the kids are really comfortable with devices, with using the telehealth platforms for communication. And the advantages for kids and for families in general is you can do it immediately. You can do it from the comfort of your home. You can do it from the park that you're sitting in. You can do it from anywhere. And so our intention is to vastly expand the options that are available for kids to have telehealth visits, both one-on-one telehealth visits as well as telehealth when it's incorporated with other appointments. And I think that's a piece that we really want to continue to work on in our community, is not separating mental and physical health. And it's all part of our health. And so if you're in your pediatrician's office and there's a mental health issue that you're talking about, we'd love to be able to get immediate access to patients for a conversation with a behavioral health specialist when it's beyond what the pediatrician feels comfortable doing.
Explain, Greg and Julie, why you have a passion in this area and why telehealth and the phone line and all of these other services are just so important.
We have had an increasing level of direct exposure through doTERRA, our business, through our family and extended family. We've had extended family issues seem to be increasing. We've got increasing exposure to this issue within our education system of our children and within our community. We talk about how this is impacting younger and younger kids. And in our community, a few years back, we had an 11-year-old boy who came home from school, had an issue with his sister and toys and, you know, all of that, and decided to end his life. And that shocked us into a new reality, that the world has changed, things have changed. We need to adapt. We need to be more proactive in helping to lift the hands that hang down low and taking care of our neighbors, and which, you know, just is more needed today than ever before. And we're just excited that Primary Children's is expanding their facility, building a new hospital in Lehigh. And that's going to bring these services even closer to us, where we're located in Utah County, and building a new multi-million-dollar hospital there and providing these services. We couldn't think of a better way and a better timing. It just, as Julie mentioned earlier, it feels like the timing of this. We have a sense of timing. We pay attention to that in our lives, and it feels like the timing is pushing us to do more and more and to do what we can. So we're really grateful that Intermountain and doTERRA, which provides us the resources that we have, you know, are making this possible for us to be able to help, you know, at this time.
And from my side of things too, as we have had close friends in the neighborhood and close friends outside of just in our community and our reach that have had these experiences with their children, whether it is just whether it is other trying to find therapy and you've got a parent that's a friend that's asking if you know anybody that because of our interest in this that might be able to help, and when their child has come to an acute state and they do just become so helpless, and having conversations with the parents that are just aching and mourning for their kids who are in so much pain and not knowing where to turn, then that breaks your heart as well and just makes you want to dig deep down and do whatever you can so that others don't have to experience that same level of pain. Because for every child that is going through the pain that would lead them to that state, you've got parents that love them that are also aching, and you've got an entire family and, you know, their reach of friends that are aching with them. And so I think that was the biggest thing that just made us want to be able to help, is see others' pain and wanting to do what we could to be able to relieve and alleviate as much as we could in whatever means we could.
I will share with you all that I did have a child in crisis about 10 years ago. And of course, Primary Children's Hospital is where I turned. But I'm wondering, Katie, at this point in time, if you are seeing more people go into the field of child psychiatry, because at that point, a decade ago, there was an extreme shortage of people to actually go see. Our problem was not that we didn't realize that there was a problem, but then again, finding someone to help us and not having the resource that you're now providing where people can actually call somewhere and get advice and find the resources or make them easily accessible to them. So my question was, are there more people now to actually see the patients?
I think it's a great question. I think if you're talking about psychiatrists, and it's particularly pediatric and adolescent psychiatrists, there is still an immense national shortage of pediatric and adolescent psychiatrists. But we've learned that you need to create a team, and you don't have to have people all go to one person. You really need to create a team of providers that can have a psychiatrist as the expert that they can turn to when they have questions, but you surround them with advanced practice clinicians, with social workers, psychologists, behavioral health specialists. And if you create that entire team, you can you just dramatically increase the access for patients across the board. And you reserve the psychiatrist to really practice at the top of their license. And that's the approach that we're taking. I don't think we'll ever hire our country out of the shortage of psychiatrists, but we know that we can create a team. And we can also elevate the expertise of our primary care physicians, our pediatricians, our family medicine physicians. And that's a lot of the work that we've been doing over the last couple of years, is elevating their comfort with handling sort of the very basic level of anxiety that patients are experiencing, so that we can hopefully never have it escalate, but then also get them connected to behavioral health specialists when it elevates and they need that next level of care.
Yeah, I think that's such an important point, just how the dynamics of care have changed in order to actually meet the needs of the growing number of people who actually need your help. I think that is so important.
I'm so excited. Julie mentioned, or Greg mentioned, I can't remember who mentioned it, our new facility in Lehigh.
Oh,
so
yes,
when we get
ahead.
A second, I would love to talk
go
about
ahead.
That.
Go ahead. We have a minute here. So go ahead and talk about that.
You know, we are opening a full service children's hospital in Lehi in 2023, and we're so excited to get care closer to home for this really growing population of children. In fact, in Utah County's children will probably have more kids than Salt Lake County by like 2038. It's just a fast growing area. But we knew as we were going into that community that one of the most important services we could bring were behavioral health services for kids. And I think everyone's excited that we're building an inpatient unit. So that high-end critical care will have a 12-bed inpatient unit with a beautiful outdoor patio area attached to it. But I think really importantly is the entire continuum of care will be there. Outpatient care, so the clinic visits, as well as an intensive outpatient program and the inpatient program. So I think being able to serve the community across the continuum of care will be so important, and have care close to home. It's hard to have to leave your local community to receive care. So we can use telehealth, but we can also bring services closer to home. So very excited about that.
Boy, and that's got to make just a huge difference for our not just your family, Greg and Julie, but also your workers, your employees who don't live right in the Salt Lake Valley. That has to make a huge difference for them.
Yeah, absolutely. We're so excited. It really will literally save lives. Our chief medical officer, Russ Osgathorpe, used to be with Intermountain and still is in many facets. He'll tell you that this will save lives by having this facility closer to so many children in Utah County. And then there's so many businesses and families and in our community that are going to benefit by having this facility. We very early on when our children were born, we had some specialized healthcare needs that could only be addressed by the world-class care that Primary Children's offers, and the kindness that we were shown, the care, the solutions that were provided endeared us closely to Primary Children's and all that the good that it does, you know, in the world. And so we're just thrilled to have this hospital being built in Lehi, right in the heart of being able to help so many more families.
All right, we need to take a break. And we'll be right back on Healthy Mind Matters.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas,
in the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.